Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate that. Let's go back in our Bible, if you will, to look at John 14 in verse 16 again, where the Bible says, I will pray the Father, talking about our Heavenly Father. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I want to speak this morning on the comfort of Christ, the comfort of Christ. You know, just Friday we had the funeral service for Brother Jeff Fenton, and it was a time, I don't think in any funeral service, I've done 41 funeral services, and I don't think in any funeral service I've hugged so many people in all my life and cried with so many people and let them cry on my shoulder, just because of the fact there's times when we ought to comfort one another. And can I tell you, those times come often sometimes, and sometimes they come not so often. But whenever you have opportunity, you ought to comfort people. Can I say, there's a greater comforter than Mike Wells, or a greater comforter, as Brother Bachman did the same thing and helped me in the funeral service, and we stood there together, and he comforted the family, knowing them for many, many years. But our comfort does not compare to that which is the comfort of the Lord. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. Just 2 weeks prior to that, we had a funeral service for Brother Sylvester Matthews, and I watched the family as they comforted one another, and what a wonderful blessing that is. I want us to learn about the comforter this morning. I want us to learn how to comfort one another this morning. What might comfort you during distressing times in your life? The book of John chapter 14 probably depicts one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible when it comes to the word comfort. For that which is the weary soul in a destined land, it seems to be almost like a refreshing spring that comes to be able to help those that need the comfort. You read in the chapter, and of course you read about how there is a comfort for those. Kind of reminds me of that which is the calmness, if you would please, of a troubled sea that you can be able to receive by reading this chapter. I think by reading this chapter, you can see the protection that a person can have in a stormy night. I think you can see the strength that a person can have if they have a weary soul, or that which is the comfort for one that is in great distress. You know, Job said this. He said, man is born of woman and is full of days, or he says, few of days, and is few of days and full of trouble. By the way, you'll never be totally exempt from trouble. Trouble is going to come whether you like it or not. There's no bars on the windows. There's no bolts on the door. There's nothing that can keep trouble out. But let me tell you, there's some things that you can do when trouble comes knocking at your door. There's some things you can do when fear comes knocking at your door. There's some things you can do when distress comes knocking at your door that you want to take a very careful note of. Let's notice them together. Statement number one, there's the comfort of faith. The comfort of faith. I want us to notice this in John chapter 14 and verse 1. Here's what it says. He says, and let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse, or chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says, and let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and it says, find grace in to help in the time of need. And so there's a way to be able to find comfort. Think about this, if you will. Before the flower is ever born, there has to be the seed. Before the river ever flows, there's got to be a spring. Before the fire ever burns, there has to be a spark. Before a man can ever be blessed of God, there's got to be faith. And so as we consider how is it that we can be comforted during distressed times, there must be faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right? So there's got to be faith. You know, a man without faith can't please God. A man without faith can never be able to reap that which God would have him to reap. You know, the coal miner's not going to go and believe or go and dig for coal unless he believes that there's going to be coal at the end of his dig. You think about it. That which is the farmer, he doesn't plant not anticipating a harvest. He plants knowing that the harvest is going to come. A man, if you would please, that doesn't believe that he is going to stay pure, doesn't have the reason to work that way, but one that does have the reason to work that way. Jesus supplies everything we need to be able to have the right type of attitude and the right type of behavior in our life when it comes to distress. Jesus said this, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says this, for those that believe in his power, he says this. He says, all power is given to me, it says, in heaven and in earth. We can believe in his promises because he said this. The promises of God, it says, are ye, it says, and amen. He says that we can believe in his prayer. We can believe that God will answer even my prayer. He says, forever, he says, liveth to maketh intercession for them. We can believe that he is ever present with us. He said, though I'm with you always. We can believe this, that he is our preparation. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. We can believe that inside of him, we can have all purity. As he said this, he says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We can believe this, that he's the person that I can turn to. Why? Because he says, I and my Father are one. So we understand that when the comfortless times come, we can go to God and God can help us to be able to receive comfort in the time of need. Somebody said this, I never questioned when the winds were cold that the maple leaves were waiting to unfold. He says, I shall now at the touch of sorrow's hand grow panic-stricken, fail to understand. Listen to what he says. He says, I face a silence in the woods or that were dumb, but always knew the time when the birds would come and hum. I will in my winter that seems to be so long always understand that God will send the sun, the bloom, and the song. And so when you go through the weary night, that doesn't mean that you'll have the weary night all the time. Times of darkness come, but also times of light come. Times, if you would please, where you feel like your failing is coming, but yes, there's going to be times of victory where you feel like that you can be victorious. You don't always have to live in the darkness, and you don't always have to live in despondency, and you don't always have to live in disparity. You don't always have to live in such a way where everything is bloom and everything is gloom. Why? Because we have a God that will send comfort to us when we need comfort in our lives. Statement number one, the comfort comes by that which is faith. Statement number two, the comfort comes of hope. Because we have hope, we can receive comfort. We're going to stay in John 14. John 14, verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, and I go to prepare a place, he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, and whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. So Jesus here is talking to the disciples. It's not going to be but just a little while, and he's going to be separated from the disciples. But he's reminding them that there's going to be an eternal reunion. He's reminding them, if you would please, that there is hope. Why? He said, because I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm already going to be able to prepare that place for you. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, now the God of hope, it says, fill you with all joy and peace and believing that he may abound, it says, in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so you can abound in hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I would not have you ignorant, it says, brethren. He says, concerning those which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, you and I, we have hope. When my mama went home to be with the Lord, I have hope I'll see her again. When my dad, who was always also saved, went home to be with the Lord, I have hope that I'll see him again. When my brother, my older brother, went home to be with Christ, can I tell you, I have hope that I'll see him again. Why? My hope is not in that which is corruptible. My hope is that which is in the incorruptible. And can I tell you, the only way that a person will ever go to heaven is not by what they do, not by what they say, not because they have faith in the baptistry, not because they have faith in keeping one of two or three or 20 or 30 of the commandments in the Bible. No. It's not because a person tries to be good. No, my hope and your hope is in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches here that we can take and be able to have hope in Christ when all of a sudden that which is disaster does come. You know, the Bible talks about in Adam all dies. You see that even beginning in the book of Genesis. But in Christ, all is made alive, and may I say, he is our hope. You think about Jonah. Jonah was a discredited man, but he came back. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. What happened? God gave him hope. God gave him hope. You said, but preacher, I messed up. Well, yeah, but most men, most women mess up. Well, I'll tell you what, I've messed up so bad I don't think that I could ever be able to be used of God again. That's a devil's lie. Can I tell you, God wants to use you. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to be able to have the hope that he presents to you. There's not a person under the sound of my voice or, yea, living in this world that doesn't or could not have hope in Jesus Christ. May I say this morning, the comfort of faith. All the comfort of the faith can help us in a destitute time. The comfort of hope. How about the comfort of love? The comfort of love. Listen to it. The Bible says in John 14, verse 21, the Bible says that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved, it says, of the Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. And so God says, okay, doesn't the Bible say, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap? So stand up, Doc, if you will. And so many times, here's what we do. Here's a picture of God the Father. Here's a picture of God the Father. And so many times, here's what we do. Stand up, Brother Palmore. We allow distractions to get in our way. There's people that come between us and what we should do. And so, all of a sudden, somebody rises up and says, well, I'll tell you what, don't go to church today. Let's go do this. That's a distraction. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you decide to go do this, and it's wrong, and it's not right, and you shouldn't do it. But you allow that to be your distraction. Can I tell you, there ought to be nothing that distracts you from looking at God the Father through his word to be able to understand exactly what God would have you to do. You're going to have people that are even friends that will rise up and say, well, and good people, I'm talking about good people, not like bad people like him. I'm kidding. But now watch, okay? But not somebody that comes between you and God, but somebody that just kind of tags on you, just kind of pulls on you a little bit. And a good person, somebody that's not trying to get you in trouble, somebody's not trying to get you to do evil, somebody's not trying to get you to hurt somebody, but just kind of pulling on you, just trying to keep you away from doing that which what God would have you to do. What are you supposed to do? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to allow God to help you to be able to come through your distressful times. Thank you. Be seated if you will. The Bible talks about Judas. John chapter 14 and verse 22. The Bible says, Judas saith unto him, not, it says, Iscariot. He says, Lord, he says, how is it that that wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and he said unto him, he says, if a man love me, and he will keep my words. He says, my Father will love him. And the Bible says, and we will come unto him and will make him, it says, our abode with him. All right, so God expects us. Oh, okay, one more time, Doc, if you don't mind. I have a choice. You have a choice. You can decide to draw closer to him. By the way, the farther I stay away from God, it's not God's will and it's not God's choice. The farther I stay away from God, it's my choice. It's my will. But if I choose to put God first in my life, then of course I get to know him better. Well, of course I get to know his comfort more. Well, of course I feel his love. Well, of course I feel the warmth. Well, of course I feel like I can have more confidence in him. Why? Because I'm close to him. See, being close to God is our responsibility. Being close to God is up to us. You decide if you want to be close to God or not. You decide if you want to put God first in your life or not. That's up to you. Oh, through the Holy Spirit, he has that still, small voice. And you know what you should be doing. But he has that still, small voice, and he says, you ought to do this. You ought to do this. You ought to do this, he whispers ever so low. And you know what you ought to be doing. Oh, but there's that world that's pulling on you. There's that, those goals that you have that's not godly. Those things that start popping in your mind and trying to pull you. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to have, oh, please stay with me. God wants you to have the very best. Well, how do you get the very best? You get close to him. You stay close to him. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I'm saying this. How is it that you and I can understand the comfort of Christ? We understand the comfort of Christ through the comfort of faith, through the comfort of hope. We understand the comfort of Christ through the comfort of love. The comfort of love for the Lord is more than a man has for the love and the comfort, if you would please, that he would have by loving his country. Or more than a man would love a city. Or more than a man, if you would please, would love a job. Oh, no, we're supposed to love God more. You realize that you're supposed to, as a parent, love God more than you love your children? You realize by doing that, God gives you a greater love for your children? If I want to love my wife to the supremeness that I could love her, if I love God more, he helps me with my love for my wife. And so it is with every single relationship. I said that there's the comfort of faith, the comfort of hope, the comfort of love. Statement number next, how can I receive comfort? The comfort of prayer, the comfort of prayer. John chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will he do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, and if you ask anything in my name, he says, I will do it. Oh, think about this. When you're lonely, you could pray like a David Livingston. God will meet your need. When you're in poverty, you could pray like the widow. God met her need. When you have fear, maybe you feel imprisoned by your own fear, you can pray like Peter and Paul prayed, while in prison. You could, when facing death, you could pray like Stephen prayed. When all of a sudden you just feel like that you need to be the person to be able to meet others' needs and you don't know how to meet others' needs, you could pray like Abraham prayed. You think about this. Esau was mindful to kill his brother, and all of a sudden Jacob prayed and wrestled with the angel, and God changed Esau's mind, and they were separated for 20 years, and Jacob lived in fear of his brother, but God changed his mind because he prayed. Moses cried unto God, and the sea was divided. Moses prayed again, and Elimelech was discomforted. Joshua prayed, and Achan was discovered. Hannah prayed and Samuel was born. David prays, if you would please, and Ahithophel hangs himself. Asa prayed, and all of a sudden you see that there's a great victory that was gained. You see that Daniel prayed, and the lion's mouth was muzzled, if you will. Mordecai bade Esther to pray and fast, and now you see that Haman is hanged at his own gallows 3 days later. Nehemiah prayed, and the king's heart was softened for a moment. You see that Elijah prayed, and rain descends, if you see. And Elisha prayed, and the Jordan River was divided. And Elisha prayed again, and a child's soul is now revived. You see that the church prayed, and Peter was released, if you would, from the prison. You'll see that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight, and the jail doors popped open. I'm saying this, that God can be able to comfort you through that which is prayer. Prayer can comfort you. And I'll give you one more thing tonight, or this morning rather. Come back tonight and I'll give you other things. We can receive comfort. How? By that which is faith. We can receive comfort by hope. We can receive comfort by love. We can receive comfort by prayer. Then lastly, we can receive comfort by peace. There is the comfort of peace. The comfort of peace. There's just something about peacefulness. I spoke at my daddy's funeral. And when I spoke at my daddy's funeral, relatives came. And I was at mom's funeral too. And of course, my brother's viewing. I had to leave to go to the Philippines. I wasn't able to stay for the funeral. It was already booked. But I remember speaking at that funeral. The priest got up first, and he did his thing. And then they said, well, now one of the Wells boys has been asked by the family to speak. Michael, would you come? I came up. And as clear as I possibly could, funeral was attended by about 150 people or so, but as clear as I possibly could, I gave the plan of salvation, the gospel, realizing that multitudes of lost people was there. Amen. And I gave the gospel. And there were several that received Christ as Savior. I told about that couple that came to visit Daddy, and they were standing there at his foot, the foot of his bed. And I'd called Daddy. I was driving, of course, I think from Mississippi is where we lived at the time, and I was driving up to Delaware where Dad lived, and I was breaking every speed limit that you could think about, trying to get to my daddy's side. Only time I ever prayed for a police officer to stop me. Nobody stopped me. I was going 90 miles an hour. I was just hitting it as hard as I could, trying to get to daddy's side before he took his last breath. I walked in that hospital room. That young couple received Christ at his foot of the bed, the foot of the bed. And then daddy took his last breath. But can I tell you something? On all those times of being able to give the gospel, I remember my daddy telling me when he bowed his heart and he received Christ as Savior, what a peace. He said, I've never had that peace before. And he described that peace. And the way he described that peace, Brother Freienstein, he said, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. Why is it that some people can be able to make it through the storms? Because they have the peace of God. The Palmers, all the Palmer family went on a cruise. You know, Brother Palmer arranged for us, and I took the assistant pastors and their wives one time on a cruise. Then we did a couples retreat together, I think, right, on a cruise. And I remember one cruise that we were on, and, oh, we came through a storm. I don't like being in the middle of the ocean in a storm because I swim like a rock. You know, it never impressed me when you get on those big cruise liners and they say, well, the first day, here's what you're going to do. We're going to go down here. We're going to show you what boat you get on if the ship goes down. That never impressed me at all about cruise lines. But we went through, I'm talking about a tremendously bad storm. I mean, that ship's going like this and going like this and going like that. And at that time in my life, I thought, you know, this has been fun, but I don't know if I'm ever going to do it again. Now, can I tell you this? But there was peace. There was peace. Because when you lay your head on your pillow at night, and if you know the Lord, if you receive Christ as your Savior, there's peace. I watched my daddy take his last breath in that hospital room, and he had the peace of God as he took his last breath. I had the peace of God as he took his last breath. Oh my, we miss people, don't we? The Fenton kids and Mrs. Young, of course, also, they're going to miss their daddy. But there's the peace of God that passeth all understanding, because we know that God is the one that gives that peace because we've received Christ as our Savior. May I say this? The Bible says in the book of John chapter 14, last verse I'll read, verse 27. He says, peace. He says, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, the world cannot give you peace. Only God can give you peace. I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Have you settled that? If you were to take your last breath right now, do you know for sure that your next breath would be in heaven? Have you witnessed to your friends? Have you witnessed to your neighbors? Have you told them about Christ? Or are you all bottled up in your own house, only caring for yourself? You know, God is the one that can give that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, I remember those days, Mom and Daddy not being saved. I was in Bible college in Florida, and I remember going up to the weight room, and it closed at 10, and I asked the dorm soup, I said, can I go to the weight room after 10 o'clock every Friday when I get off? Can I go and just pray? Just pray for Daddy to get saved. Just pray for Mama to get saved. And I'd go to that weight room, and I'd cry. Oh, I'd cry, I'd cry, I'd cry. One night, the door squeaked open, and I didn't look up. I thought maybe somebody came in to do something else, maybe clean, and I was just concentrating on praying for Mom and Daddy to get saved. There was a big old hand that came across my back, rested on my shoulders. And there was a man kneeling beside me. I didn't know who it was, and he started to cry, and he started to pray. He said, "Dear God, please save Johnny Wells. Please save Tommy Wells." And just kept praying and crying, and after he got done, he just patted me on the back, and he got up, and he walked out. Every Friday night then, for over a year, I'd hear that door squeak open. That same gentleman would come in. He kneeled down beside me. He said, "I'm here, Mike, let's pray." And he continued to pray. Later on, Mama got saved first. Then Daddy got saved. Then my older brother got saved. The other boys we led to Christ long before that. But they were the last ones to get saved. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody prayed. I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody said, "I'll tell you what, you don't have to bear the burden by yourself, but I'll be there to comfort you and help you. I'll be there for you." And by the way, that's what you ought to be there for a friend. And God says this. He says, "I'll tell you what, I'll be the one to help comfort you. I'm going to give you some resources so that you can know that you will be comforted." And we cover those today. You don't have to be a person that walks around saying, "I'll tell you what, I've just got to bear this by myself." No, God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to meet your need. He'll be your best friend if you'll let him do that